Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace, from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, let us continue our service with the singing of Psalter 203, verses 1, 2, 3, and 5. In sweet communion, Lord, with thee I constantly abide. My hand thou holdest in thine own to keep me near thy side. 1 through 3 and 5 of 203.
Thank you.
scripture reading for this evening hour can be found by renewal in the book of the Romans, thereof, the 8th chapter, the first 17 verses. First, let us do confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We mention Romans 8, the first 17 verses. And there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs of God, join heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Thus far the reading of God's holy word.
Congregation, let us seek the Lord's countenance in prayer and ask for his blessing and presence among us this evening. Let us pray. Almighty, eternal, creator of the heavens and of the earth, thou who hast made all things and upholds all things, in thee we live and move and have our being, and without thee we cannot take one breath. We are completely dependent upon Thee, that Almighty Creator of heaven and earth, for our physical life. Thou hast brought us into this world, and at Thy time Thou wilt also call us out of this world to stand before Thee, to give an account before Thee, that Almighty, all-knowing, holy and just, but also merciful God. But Lord, we are also completely dependent upon Thee for spiritual life, because Thou hast made us perfect and good in Thy image, but we have rebelled against Thee. We have plunged ourselves into misery. We are born totally depraved, under condemnation, and we have no ability to deliver ourselves, and we have no willingness. We need Thee to give life, to teach, to lead, to guide, to keep. Oh, we beg Thee then, Thou who art that overflowing fountain of all good, against whom we have sinned against. Oh, we beg Thee that Thou would work mightily, irresistibly by Thy Word and Holy Spirit. And that when Thy Word is proclaimed tonight, that Thou would accompany it with the power of the Holy Spirit, that sinners may be convicted of their sin, of unbelief, of righteousness, and of judgment, that those who are yet living without Christ may come to see their desperate case, that they may see that they are under that sword of justice of wrath, and that they must be delivered. Because if they die in the state they were born, then they will forever be under condemnation. But Lord, we beg Thee, the recipients of Thy grace, Thy dear little lambs and sheep, may in this evening have yet a taste of the wonders of Thy mercy and of Thy grace through Thy Son, whom Thou spared not, but delivered up to die, to suffer, to die that cursed death, that through Him Thou could freely give them all things. Yes, also that great and rich blessing of no condemnation. Oh, we beg Thee then, Lord, tonight come among us and give opening to preach, give opening of ears to hear, enlighten minds, and give renewed hearts. Take away hearts of stone and give hearts of flesh. Oh, we beg Thee for Thy great name's sake and for the eternal welfare of sinners, of boys, of girls, of teenagers, of adults, of older ones. Lord, we all have the same need. We need Thy grace. We need that new life. We need to be born again. We need to be taught of self, but also revealed unto us by Thy Spirit, Thy dear Son, in whom there is life. Lord, we lay then before Thee the whole congregation. Thou knowest each one and how it is. What is their spiritual condition? Oh, we pray, have mercy, teach, lead, and guide by Thy Word and Spirit. And in this morning we also, in Thy mercy and goodness, had the administration of the Lord's Supper, and some could sit at that table. Thou knowest how it is in their hearts, whether Satan is attacking. Oh, we beg Thee then yet tonight that Thou would come and seal unto them that love, that mercy, that grace of God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember those who may have attended and yet were not allowed and yet did. Oh, we beg Thee, if there is such among us, care for them, bring them to repentance. Give yet that they may be brought to that only place to be in Christ, that they may feed from the gospel table before they come to the Lord's table. But Lord, Thou knowest also those poor beggars, those strugglers, those sighers, those groaners who did not have freedom to come and yet maybe should have come, and they feel in their hearts now they have denied the Master. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, remember them, visit them, care for them, give that they may confess their sin. But may we ask thee also tonight that thou would comfort them with that only comfort that thou can give them. Remember those who knew they could not attend and who have not attended and yet may feel so comfortable. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that thou would shake them awake and that they may see how can they be comfortable without knowing thee, without knowing that Savior. How can they be comfortable outside of Christ? Oh, we beg thee, Lord, awaken them that they may become lost, guilty, that they may become like that publican begging for mercy, and that thou would show them at thy time of that wonders of thy grace through the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they may be drawn unto him, and that thou would lead them to the rock that is higher than they. And so, Lord, we lay the whole congregation before thee, all those who have attended and all those who have not attended. Oh, bless thy word powerfully for each one tonight, and that tonight thou would pass by dead sinners and say, live, that thou would come with the arrow of conviction, and that they may be wounded and die, that self-righteous Pharisees become lost, that those who are comfortable, unconverted, would become lost. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, look upon us in mercy, and all thy dear children who have attended or who have not attended may yet receive a blessing from that fountain of thy grace through the merits of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask then that thou would give an hour in thy house, in thy favor, under thy blessing. Give help to listen, help to preach, but we beg thee and pray thee for thy blessing, that thou would give those blessings from above, rend the heavens, Lord, and come down, come among us, and look upon us in mercy. We sin everything away. We have no rights. Lord, if thou would look upon us, who we are with all our sins and iniquities and transgressions, then thou must pass us by. But, oh, we plead because of him, of whom thou hast spared not, because of him whom thou hast delivered up, because of him who willingly gave himself to satisfy the justice of God, of him who is the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. Lord, look upon us, answer us, but visit us, and upon his merits also seal the blessings of the gospel to thy dear children. Oh, that thy Spirit may testify with their spirit no condemnation. Oh, then we would go home with such unspeakable joy and peace, peace that passeth all understanding. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, give then a taste of the wonders of thy grace. Look upon us in mercy, Lord. We ask that thou would remember then also this nation in this week, who will also have a day that we remember that thou hast given us this great nation in freedom. But this nation was built on Christian principles, and we have forsaken thee, we have cast thee out. Oh, give then that day that it may be a day of repentance, and that there may be many beggars, criers and sighers. Lord, have mercy upon us as a nation. Give God-fearing leaders, give leaders who delight and long and desire to serve thee in the office that thou hast called them to, dependent upon thee, but also that thy word may be a light upon their pathway, that they may begin each day upon their knees seeking thee, thy will, and needing thee to guide them and lead them. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, in Canada, that thou would yet give a revival, give a hatred for sin, give love for righteousness, Give that thy commandments may be obeyed and feared with the tender fear of the Lord in the hearts of many in this nation. Give opening to preach thy word and give those blessings upon it, Lord. Have mercy on us. Lord, we ask then that thou would remember also us as families. Give love for one another. Give faithfulness as husbands and wives, that we may love our wives as Christ loved his church, and that wives may respect their husbands. O Lord, wilt thou give grace to live in faithfulness, but also in holiness in our marriages. Help us as parents to instruct our children in the truth of thy precious word, and bless it, Lord. Bless the means of grace also that we may use in our homes. Care for all those who are single, maybe seeking a partner, wilt thou provide. Visit them, care for them in their loneliness. Remember those who are struggling, who feel so alone upon this earth. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that they may be given to seek thee, and that they may find that only comfort in life, in death, and in thee. Lord, care for those who are mourning, comfort them. Remember the widows. We beg thee. We read in thy word that thou art that one who looks upon them in mercy. Care for them. Remember then also those who are getting older, some who cannot gather with us, who are in Bethany Care Home. Visit them. Care for them, Lord. We ask that thou would remember those who have left thy word, who have left the truth, who are living in the world, who have no desire to use the means of grace or to gather with the congregation on thy day. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, awaken them before they perish eternally. Remember sons and daughters, prodigals. Lord, thou art that almighty God. Thou art that faithful one to thy covenant. Have mercy upon them and forgive them that true repentance, that returning unto thee. Lord, remember us then in all our cares and needs for body and soul, for land, for country. And we beg thee, Lord, thou provide also for the school. Lord, give teachers for the coming school year, God-fearing teachers, that those who know of thee, that they may teach the children, and that thou would bless it. Care for all in these coming months. Keep us, Lord, from an unprepared death, and prepare us to meet thee. Lord, remember then also the great need throughout the world for ambassadors of Jesus Christ. Oh, we beg thee again, Lord, thrust out servants to proclaim death in Adam and life in Christ. Remember that family whom we have sponsored and is waiting, longing maybe to come to Canada. If it is in thy will, open the way, Lord, and that they may come at thy time in thy favor, also to be among us, to be under the live preaching of thy precious word. Bless it to them, Lord. We ask that thou would then remember also the needs for this congregation. Lord, thou knowest the needs with the building. Lord, thou knowest to those who lay before this and who will not give that answer that we may receive a permit to build. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, open the way. Show us the way. Give us grace to follow and wisdom, Lord. And so we lay these needs before thee. Have mercy. But may we beg thee especially tonight. Come. Come with thy Holy Spirit. Come with thy presence. Give those undeserved blessings from above that come from thee alone. Give the unction of the Holy Spirit to preach. And give ears to hear and hearts to receive. Lord, we deserve nothing. We sin everything away. We're a polluted people, but may we beg it because of him, because of thy dear beloved Son, in whom thou art well pleased. Hear us, answer us, and visit us. We beg for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Congregation, let us continue now with singing from Psalter 368, all five stanzas. Arise, O Lord our God, arise, and enter now into thy rest. O let this house be thy abode forever with thy presence blessed. 368, all stanzas in the collections for tonight is the first for the church and the second for the Terra Home. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Thank you. Congregation, are you in Christ? Are you in Christ? Maybe you thought tonight with the reflection sermon there would be a different question. Maybe we'd ask the question, have you attended the Lord's Supper or have you not? Dear congregation, we need to be prepared to meet God. You were brought in this world and you need to leave this world. You need to be prepared to meet God. And there's only two ways that we will meet God. We will either meet him under wrath or free of wrath. We will meet him condemned or not condemned. And we read in John 3, verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. My friend, are you in Christ? That's the key. To be able to prepare to meet God, we need to be in Christ. And only in him and through him there is no condemnation. Because outside of him, you are under condemnation. And I don't know how it is in your heart, but maybe you feel a little comfortable. Maybe you didn't attend and you felt, well, at least I didn't deceive myself. At least I didn't attend when I should not have attended. My friend, tonight I hope you become so absolutely uncomfortable that you go home as a lost, condemned sinner. But maybe you have attended. And maybe it was quiet. May it be tonight that the Lord may yet add a blessing through the word and by the Spirit, that we may taste something of the wonders of his grace. He spared not his Son, but delivered him up for us all, that he may freely give us all things. Yes, small things and great things. Also, that great blessing, no condemnation. What a wonder that would be. And so I'd like to ask your attention to the word of God, the first verse, which we read in Romans 8, verse 1. Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And may the Lord bless his word tonight powerfully to the conversion of sinners, but also may it be to the comfort of his dear people. The theme, no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Two thoughts tonight. First, worthy of condemnation. Maybe you say, where do we see that in the text? Why do we need to think of this point? Well, we read that there is therefore now no condemnation. That means that there is or there was condemnation. And the second thought is free from condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And so, no condemnation in Christ. Our first thought, and that's this reflection sermon is for everyone. None are excluded. And so the first thought, worthy of condemnation. Maybe you're listening and you're thinking, why do we need to start here tonight? Why need we to begin with worthy of condemnation? Why do we need to talk about worthy of condemnation? I just want to hear the gospel. Well, let me give you a little illustration. If you take a diamond and you look at it, you may see some beauties. But if you take that same diamond and put it on black velvet, then the diamond will shine all the brighter. Without the black background, you don't see all the beauties of this diamond so distinctly. And so we need to look at this beautiful, astounding, precious verse that Paul wrote in Romans 8, verse 1, at the background of sin. And that by the blessing of the Holy Spirit, that those beauties, those riches that are in Jesus Christ, that he may shine all the brighter. Worthy of condemnation. Why do we need to begin there tonight, congregation? Because that is where the Lord begins when he works in the heart of a sinner. We are worthy of condemnation. And the Lord teaches by the leading of the Holy Spirit. He begins in the life to teach that we are worthy of condemnation. And he does this on purpose, that grace through Jesus Christ may become amazing grace for wretches. He teaches we are guilty. He teaches we are lost. He teaches we are worthy of condemnation. Worthy of condemnation. May I ask you? You don't have to answer me. Congregation, boys, girls, teenagers, adults, are you worthy of condemnation or not? Can you sit here comfortably tonight and hear you're under condemnation? Or have you seen something that you are under condemnation? Why do we need to begin here? It's also good for God's people. It's good for them to think of where God found them, lost, depraved, under condemnation. Paul did this. He thought back many times of where God found him. It humbled him, but it also brought him to that place to exalt God for his grace. What did he say in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9 and 10? For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Little lambs, sheep, where did God find you? Think back how you were living. What was your state? Your state was that you are worthy of condemnation. And so we read in this text, there is therefore now no condemnation. Paul says, now no condemnation. That means and implies there was condemnation. There was condemnation. Congregation, was there always condemnation? No, there was not always condemnation. Not always, no. If we go back to the very beginning of the Bible, if we go back to Genesis 1, we may read that chapter, there was no condemnation. God created everything. God created man, that crown jewel of creation, and he reflected his image and knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. And God could look upon his creation, also upon man, and you also in Adam, your covenant head. And he could say, behold, it is very good. There was no distance. There was no separation. Adam did not experience anything of condemnation. No, he only lived in sweet communion with the Lord every day. He had the Lord's favor every day, no sin. And therefore, there was no condemnation. So why? Why are you and I by nature worthy of condemnation? Why are you worthy of condemnation? What happened? What took place? What changed this beautiful, excellent, beautiful situation of paradise that there is now condemnation? Well, because Adam, our covenant head, willfully and rebelliously sinned against God. God commanded him not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he said, the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And Adam, he had the full ability to obey completely. But he willingly, rebelliously, he listened to the voice of Satan. And he ate with his wife. They ate. They rebelled. They took of that fruit and ate. They sinned against the highest majesty in heaven. And from that very moment, from that very second, there is condemnation. No condemnation to condemnation. What a radical change. What a great difference. And now every single person that was born from that very moment, from Adam to the end of the world, is born into this world under condemnation, under the wrath of God. My friend, if you are not in Christ, you are living this very moment under condemnation. The wrath of God, the sword of His justice is above your head, and His axe is ready to cut you down. You and I are born with original sin, which we inherited from our covenant head, Adam. Paul wrote in Romans 5, verse 18, "Therefore, as by the offense of one," which is Adam, "judgment came upon all men to condemnation." But we do not only have original sin, we each have our own actual sins. We have each sinned against God. We have a sinful nature. We're depraved and we sin against God. We daily sin against God. How old are you? Now think, if you only would sin one time a day, we sin much more. But think, if you only sinned one time a day, then you have 365 sins. And how old are you? 5? 10? 15? 20? 30? 40? Are you older? 60? What a mountain of sin. And only for one sin, already for original sin, we're worthy of condemnation. But for every one of our sins, we are worthy of condemnation. Our sin calls for condemnation. We are under wrath by nature. And Paul says in Romans 1 verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and ungodliness of men." Are you worthy of condemnation? Have you experienced by the teaching of the Holy Spirit that you yourself personally are worthy of condemnation? Have you felt a little something of the wrath of God against you because of your personal sin? Do you know that God is angry with the wicked every single second? And that He's angry with you because of your sin? All are worthy of condemnation. No, not just those who are outside these walls. No, us who are sitting in these benches, who know the truth, who've maybe baptized with the covenant hand name on her forehead or made public confession of faith. Worthy of condemnation. You say, "Me too?" Yes, you too. All? Yes, all. The word of God clearly emphasizes. Listen to what Paul said in Romans 3 verse 10. "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." It includes you, my friend. Outside of Christ, you are under condemnation, worthy of condemnation. There's no good in us. We do not seek God by nature. We do not hunger for Him by nature. We do not thirst for God. We have no need for Christ. We're living dead in sins and trespasses, under wrath and worthy of condemnation. And in the courts of heaven, the moment that man sinned, the sentence was proclaimed. The judge proclaimed, "Worthy, all worthy of condemnation, all under the just sentence of God's wrath, all tried, all guilty, all boys, all girls, all adults, everyone, all Canadians, everyone, all by nature under wrath." Worthy of condemnation. What does that mean? Worthy to be ever sent into hell. Forever separated from God. Forever worthy to be under that consuming, unmitigated wrath of God, who is a consuming fire. And that means lost. Lost. Without remedy. Eternally lost.
My friend, my prayer is that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may see it maybe for the first time. I'm under condemnation. I'm under wrath. I'm lost. And so here, Paul wrote such a great gospel message. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Such great riches in the gospel. But who? Who? Who hungers for it? Who longs for it? How? How will they ever want to have such a great blessing for their soul? How will a sinner who's worthy of condemnation dead ever hunger and thirst for those great riches in Christ Jesus? How will any sinner ever taste a little something of no condemnation in Jesus Christ? How can it be tonight? And may it be tonight that sinners in Cortland would not only be awakened, but those poor recipients of grace may taste something of that there is no condemnation. How? I would like to give you a little illustration. There are many criminals in the world today. Criminals. There are warrants that go out for their arrest. Maybe notices throughout the nation that this is the most wanted. This is a great criminal. And there's posters and notices. But that criminal, what does he do? He does everything to escape. They need to be arrested. They need to be brought in court. And they need to be tried for their crimes. But they will do everything to escape and to not be arrested. They do everything to remain free. Everything. They don't want to be brought into court. They don't want to come before that bar. They don't want to be arrested. They don't want to be sentenced. And when they are arrested, what do they do? What do they do? When they're brought into court, what do they confess? Do they confess guilty? They will do everything by nature also to be set free. They want to be free. They will try the best way to find the best lawyer. They'll pay the most money to be free from the sentence. And they resist with their whole being, become guilty against the crimes. To come to that place where they will willingly bow and confess with their whole heart, guilty as charged, and accept the just punishment. And this is an illustration of you and me by nature. We hear of condemnation and we try to escape. We resist it with our whole being because we don't want to become lost. We don't want to become guilty. We don't want to bow before that holy God and become an absolute rest. We resist with our whole being because the last thing we want to become by nature is a lost, guilty sinner. We hear God's law every Sunday. But have you ever confessed guilty? Guilty? Worthy of condemnation? And he also proclaims the gospel, the good news. And has it ever entered your heart with joy? And he proclaims, turn ye, for why will you die? I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. We hear it, but it doesn't touch our heart. And he calls and he says, look unto me and be saved, for I am God and there is none else. But we don't turn, we don't look, we don't need it. We're dead, we're lost. We don't want to become like that publican. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. My friend, my prayer, out of the depth of my heart, is that you become lost. It becomes real. You see it tonight, worthy of condemnation. And you cannot live in the way you are living. That you come home on your knees and you cry, Almighty God, I'm worthy of condemnation. Help, save, rescue me. I can't rescue myself. Outside of Christ, my friend, is only condemnation. You and I need to be arrested by the irresistible power of the Holy Spirit. We need that irresistible work of the Holy Spirit to give life, to open our eyes, to open our minds, to teach us, to lead us, to guide us. That we would die as a very self-righteous Pharisee to ourselves, and that we would become guilty as a prodigal before God. May I ask you, have you been arrested? Yes. God is proclaiming wrath, and we do everything to resist, to come to the place. But have you? Have you been arrested? Or are you still resisting? You feel some pricks. Yes, you feel some pricks. The common work of the Holy Spirit. He's knocking on your door, but you keep the door locked. Shut. I want to be my own God. I want to be my own king. I don't want to become lost. Are you still trying to cover yourself with your own righteousnesses? Are you? I hope you become lost. I hope you see it's all fig leaves like Adam and Eve, that they become guilty behind those fig leaves and they needed the Lord to clothe them. Maybe you're even using doctrinal truths. Maybe you're even using doctrinal truths to hide behind. The Lord has to do it. The Lord needs to begin. I have no ability. It's true. It's very true. But are you using that as an excuse? Our inability is to bring us to guilty before God, lost. Not to defend ourselves, not to hide behind. When the Lord Jesus came and arrested Paul, Paul was stopped. Paul was taught. He was taught about himself, and he was also taught about Jesus Christ. He was taught these two essential things. He was arrested, stopped, made alive, and Paul became not a self-righteous Pharisee no more. He became a sinner. A sinner. And his only hope came not in Paul, not in his works, nothing, but it came to be only in Christ. And he said in Romans 7, verse 9, "For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died." May I ask you, have you been arrested by the power of the Holy Spirit, and have you died? No, not physically. Have you died to yourself of all your hopes of everything? Nothing good anymore. Paul died. Paul became sin. He was sin, but he became sin in the sight of himself, in the sight of God. All his self-righteousness was gone. The Lord opened his eyes to see who he truly was. He learned. He sinned. He did sin. But he also learned he remained sin. Romans 7. Not only that he did sin, but also his heart, his being remained sinful. Sinful thoughts, sinful words, sinful deeds. It polluted him. He saw it. He was polluted from head to toe. And he began to grieve about self. Have you been arrested? Have you died? Have you begun to grieve of your sin and who you are before the good-doing God? Have you confessed, "I am worthy of condemnation"? Die to self, but at the same time, he found life by God's grace in another. Paul also learned not only about self, but he also learned about the Lord Jesus Christ. On that road to Damascus, Christ spoke to him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And then he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" Paul could have told you that name of the Messiah. He could have told you his name, but he did not know him personally. "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord taught Paul of who he is. He taught Paul about himself, about the Savior, and he personally knew himself according to the Word of God, and he did also personally know that only Savior Jesus Christ. We believe Paul wrote Romans about 20 years after that moment that he was arrested on the road to Damascus. What did Paul learn about Jesus Christ? We heard a little something of what he learned about himself. What did he learn? Are there so many precious beauties he wrote in all those epistles? But just a few things. Jesus Christ for Paul became his only hope. That only way back to God to be reconciled. He became that only way of true peace. All his peace was gone. He became that only way of joy. All his other things that he thought was joy as a Pharisee, it wasn't joy anymore. The Lord Jesus Christ became that one of true joy. He became that one back to the divine judge of whom he would have to die and stand before as a guilty sinner. Jesus Christ became for him that unspeakable gift. He became the one that he needed to be righteous. He was the one he needed to be washed and to be cleansed. Paul gloried in nothing but in the cross of Jesus Christ. My friend, can you say this? Can you follow Paul with his guilt? But can you follow Paul also with his only hope in Jesus Christ? Are you in Christ, or are you still outside of Christ? May I ask you, what would give you joy tonight? May I ask you that question? What would give you joy tonight? What would fill your heart with unspeakable joy? What if I could give you the biggest diamond you could ever think of? Would that give you joy? Would that fill your heart? You say, I don't want it. You can give me the whole world. You could have given Paul everything. But he had one longing, to be found in him, in Jesus Christ. He longed for those blessings of the gospel of God through Jesus Christ. Paul's joy was not in himself anymore. It was in Jesus Christ and in him crucified. That I may know him. Paul, don't you know him? Paul, you wrote so much about him, but he wrote that I may know him. Paul, what is it? He wants to know him more and more and more. He wants to be closer, closer to that good shepherd, covered, hidden under his wings, living with the joy of the gospel every day. Paul had no more hope in the flesh. Is that you? Paul only had hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, O wretched man that I am. But he didn't stop there. He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is what the Holy Spirit works in this way, in one measure or another, teaching worthy of condemnation and teaching of the blessings and the riches of Jesus Christ. And in this way, sinners are made alive and they begin to hunger. They begin to long, thirsty for those riches of the gospel that are in Jesus Christ. He becomes their only hope. He becomes the way of eternal life. And so Paul comes to this place, also in Romans, that he proclaims, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And so our first thought, worthy of condemnation, my friend. Are you worthy of condemnation? But there's also the second part, free of condemnation. But let us first sing now from Psalter 91. All five stanzas standing. God guards the good with watchful eye, his ear attentive to their cry. Against the wicked sets his face, from earth their memory to erase. 91, all five stanzas.
Thank you.
condemnation to them in Christ Jesus, worthy of condemnation. But now our second thought, and maybe you're longing to hear this second thought, free of condemnation. Paul writes, no condemnation. Two words. But what a message in two words. What riches, what grace, what unspeakable blessings that he freely gives through those merits of Jesus Christ. Do you know what we're worthy to hear? We're only worthy to hear there's condemnation. But Paul, inspired by God, by the Holy Spirit, he writes, no condemnation. Therefore, now no condemnation. What does this mean? What does this mean, no condemnation? It means acquitted. Acquitted at the judgment seat of God. Acquitted by that one against whom you have sinned. All charges removed. Justified. Forgiven. God the Father can look upon that sinner and he can smile no more. He can embrace him, her, who trusts in that only Savior which is in Christ Jesus. And he can embrace him as a son, as a daughter, nothing in between, acquitted, no condemnation. How can those that are only worthy of condemnation be just with God? How can God acquit them? Does God change? Does God change? Does he, so to speak, come off his throne of righteousness and justice and he goes upon another throne of mercy and grace? No. I heard it explained once in Bolivia. This man said, that's because God comes off his throne of his justice and his righteousness and he goes and sits on another throne of mercy and grace. Not at all. God is God. God is God in all his attributes. One attribute does not suffer because of another attribute. They're all equal, all in unison. That very holy, just God can also be very merciful and gracious. How can a person, how can a wretched sinner, or maybe it's your question, how can I be just with God? Paul in Romans says there's only two ways. He lays it out unto this chapter. There's only possibility of two ways that a sinner can be justified. It is either by the works of the law or by faith in Jesus Christ. Can you be justified by the law? What's your experience? My friend, what's your experience? Can you be justified by the law? Has it become absolutely impossible? A dead-end way? Only that way to heaven is closed, bolted, shut, impossible? That door is locked. That door is closed. It's not by the works of the law. Paul made that very clear in Romans 3 verse 20. Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. What is the way? What is the way to be acquitted before that holy, infinite God of heaven and earth? What is the way to receive no condemnation? What is the way? Is that your cry tonight? Maybe you even sat at the table, but you didn't taste any of those riches. And your heart still longs and begs, what's the way? What can I receive that way? It's by faith. Faith in the gospel, looking outside of self, your eye upon him alone, clinging to him as a beggar, as a lost sinner. Faith connects to that rich, precious Savior. Listen to what Paul wrote in Romans 5 verse 1. Therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What a verse. Every word has meaning. Peace. And so Paul comes through Romans. And he comes to a climax. He comes to a peak. He lifts the trumpet gospel to his lips and he proclaims such a sweet
glorious message of the gospel. And he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And maybe you sit here yet tonight and you say, but my conscience speaks. I feel so sinful. I feel so wretched yet. Paul knew that. Read Romans 7. He knew that. But yet he wrote, because of those riches that are in Christ Jesus, there is therefore now no condemnation to them in Jesus Christ. But maybe you say, there's so much pollution in me yet. It keeps coming up out of my heart. How can it be? Paul knew that. He knew that. And he yet wrote, therefore there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And maybe you're wondering, how could that ever be for me? Paul also, I'm sure he understood that question. How could this ever be for me? But Paul was taught by the Spirit, led to death and self, led by that same Spirit to that only Savior and to those great riches. And he came to know the truth, the biblical truth. No condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Paul doesn't write, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that feel it. No. He says the fact of the riches of the gospel that flow through the blood and the merits of Jesus Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. To those who are lost in self, yet trust, believe in him. Free from condemnation. This means free from wrath, free from the curse of the law, free from that hell-worthy sentence. All charges are dropped, acquitted at the judgment seat of that holy God, completely free, forgiven, washed, cleansed. How can that ever be? Such a great blessing, such great riches. How can that be? How can that come from God? It's from him, God the Father. Well, to give an illustration, let's go into a court for a moment, an earthly court. Let's go. Sometimes criminals who are worthy of being sent to jail are set free. Sometimes it happens. No justice. And the charges are dropped. Will this ever happen with a guilty sinner before the court at the judgment seat of God? Never. Absolutely not. The charges will not be simply dropped, my friend, worthy of condemnation. Those charges will never, ever simply be dropped. They will remain there unless, listen a little later, God is God. He will not. He cannot simply forgive. He will by no means clear the guilty. Well, sometimes in courts, new evidence is brought in. There's a charge, and they come with new evidence. And they say, look at this new evidence. And the person is proven innocent. It's not him. He didn't do this. She didn't do this. Do you think that will ever happen in the court of heaven? That new evidence will be brought in? That charges will be dropped? That you will be proclaimed innocent? No, never. Never. That evidence that you are not worthy of condemnation? Never. Absolutely not. Is there any new evidence that could ever change from your side the charges guilty under condemnation? No. The only evidence that comes out of us into the court of heaven is sin. 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 And more sin. And so the charges remain on the part of man. Well, sometimes there's corrupt judges. In Bolivia, you can buy a judge. You just pay some bolivianos and he'll change the sentence and you can go free. Or you're in jail, you pay some money and you can go free. But God, with all respect, is the judge of heaven and earth. He's holy. infinite pure. He will only do what is just and good and right. And we read, shall not the judge of the earth do right? How can Paul then proclaim there is therefore now no condemnation? The only way is through Jesus Christ. He wrote in Romans 3 verse 26, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Christ Jesus. Only those who by God's grace repent of all their sin and trembling and fearful yet believe in that only Savior Jesus Christ are free of condemnation. It is only through that Savior that these riches can flow to unworthy recipients that are only worthy of condemnation. We read in Romans 8 verse 3, for the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. No condemnation. It's only through another. It's only through Jesus Christ. It's through him. Through him, that only mediator, that surety, that precious Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ, he kept the law. He removed the curse of the law, but he did more. He became that sacrifice for sin. And we read in the form this morning, listen, he was innocently condemned to death that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God. There it is. That's the way. It's because of him. Because of that ransom. Because of that surety. Because of Jesus Christ. Because of him. The Lord cannot just drop the charges. He's just. And his justice must be satisfied. And what can No, what has satisfied his justice? That's the sacrifice of his own dear Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. He was condemned to death. He, willingly, he became cursed to remove that curse. God the Father poured all his wrath upon him. He was made sin and knew no sin, and all the wrath was poured upon him. He was condemned to death. That those that are worthy to be eternally condemned could be absolutely, completely acquitted. No condemnation. He satisfied the justice of God. Sinner, then look to that only place. Look to that only place where you can be acquitted, and you will never find it here. That only place is in him, in the Lamb of God, in that precious Savior, Jesus Christ, the mediator. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. The Father, through Christ, can look upon his church. He look upon all those lambs, all those believers, all those sheep, and he can say, My lovely bride, he can look upon a wretched, bankrupt, guilty, polluted sinner. And he could look and say, I am thy God, and thou art my people. No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And now when you read this text in the Greek, what's the first word? Well, you say, I don't know Greek. Well, I'll tell you. The first word is no. Paul did this on purpose because in the Greek, if you want to make an exclamation mark or if you want to highlight something, you put that word in the very beginning. So if you read this verse in Greek, no condemnation now. No. You can take that word. You can highlight it. You can underline it. You can give an exclamation mark behind it. No. No condemnation. No, not just some of the condemnation is gone. No, absolutely gone through the blood of Jesus Christ. That very God who delighteth in mercy, through his Son Jesus Christ, as we read in Micah 7, verse 18 and 19, cast all the sins of all his people into the depth of the sea, acquitted. No condemnation. When is there no condemnation? You say that's in the future when they come to heaven. Well, let's read the text again. What does it say? Therefore, there is therefore now. Now. Now no condemnation for them which are in Christ Jesus. It may be tasted today. It may be experienced by the blessing of the Holy Spirit now upon this earth. There is therefore now no condemnation. In the moment when a sinner is born again by the power of the Holy Spirit, that sinner changes from the object of God's wrath to the object of his love. And the moment a sinner crying, sighing, begging, stumbling, comes, flees unto that only Savior and puts his trust in him, looks to him, he is free from all condemnation. Congregation, worthy of condemnation. Have you heard it? Are you in Christ? Without him, you are worthy of condemnation. That sword is hanging above your head. But, oh, church of God, oh, to taste this, these riches, these unspeakable blessings that he freely gives, and he gives joyfully through the blood of his dear son. Oh, to taste this. May you meditate upon this week, and may by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may taste it. Taste it. Oh, then you would sing. Oh, then you would have joy that you never ever knew before. Free. I'm free. I was so worthy of condemnation, but I heard it. In Christ Jesus, no condemnation. What wonders, what riches, what grace of God the Father through his Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. Have you heard it tonight? Free of condemnation, no condemnation. What has it done to your heart? What's your response? Is your heart still hard and dead? Go home and be honest to the Lord and say, I heard of such great riches, but I just want to hear amen so I could go home. Confess your deadness. Confess your hard heart and beg him to give life. Have you heard it? Have you heard it, my friend? No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And now you ask, how may I know that I am in him? I want to know. I want to know before I go home. Am I in him or am I not? Well, Paul explains that in this very text. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. My friend, how is it with your life? Are you walking only after the flesh? Then you are not in Christ at all. But are you walking after the Spirit? Is the Spirit leading you? Yes, you fall many times. You sin many times. But you're fighting, resisting, longing, hoping, living to be in the favor of God, to live holy. What is it with your life? Do you live as your good shepherd? How did he live? Hating sin. Do you hate sin? He lived loving what? Doing the will of God. Do you love living to do the will of God? He had one desire. And what was his desire? That God would be glorified. Is that your heart? If that's your heart, hating sin, longing to do that which is right, and living, longing to live for the glory of God, you may know that you are in Christ Jesus. Dear sheep, the good shepherd has paid that ransom so that you may be free of condemnation, and he longs that you may live already now in the joy of that salvation, and that you may experience the fullness of it in the future. We'll close with one text. John 5 verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. And now listen. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. What wonders of grace for wretches are you in Christ. Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, we have tried to bring it to the ear. We beg thee, bring it into the heart, that sinners that are worthy of condemnation may become worthy of condemnation. But oh, may we beg thee also that thy dear people, recipients of grace, oh, may it have been tonight a little aftertaste, a little taste of the wonders of thy grace for their souls, of the great wonder, no condemnation, that God the Father can look upon them, that they're free from all charges, that he can embrace them. Oh, wilt thou witness with their spirit that they may cry and say, Abba, Father. Oh, what wonders. We are completely dependent upon thee, Lord, and thy grace. Oh, we beg thee then, give those blessings from above for the glory of thy name and for the comfort of our souls. Keep us in this week, Lord. Guide us, keep us, protect us. Give us the tender fear of the Lord in our hearts, that we may live for thee, for thy honor, for thy glory. Keep us from sin, Lord, and look upon us in mercy, we ask. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let us sing now in closing Psalter 83. 83, all three stanzas. How blessed is he whose trespass hath freely been forgiven, whose sin is wholly covered before the sight of heaven. Psalter 83, all three stanzas.
Thank you.
congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.